On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, the Nets win another close game, this time over the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they're back over 500. It's all thanks to their dynamic duo, not Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. We're talking Spencer Dinwiddie and Jared Allen. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Nets podcast, coming to you live, as we always do, from an undisclosed location in New York City. My name is Marcus Barrahall. Josh is busy with work. We've been on a real run of solo pods lately. His turn, my turn. Kind of like the Nets offense back when Kyrie Irving was in it. TBT. But the Nets haven't had Kyrie Irving. It hasn't mattered of late. They won once again tonight, 108-106 over the Cleveland Cavaliers, pushing themselves back over 500 to 9-8 on the season. And in this recent run, they're 5-1 in these six games without Kyrie. They have firmly established themselves as what appears to be a playoff team once again. So that's good news. They're up to seventh in the East at 9-8, a game and a half back of the Pacers for the sixth seed, and a full 2.5 games clear of the Magic and Wizards. And like Josh and I had talked about on previous podcasts, I at least was never worried about the Nets making the playoffs just because of those other teams in the East. So that top six, the Bucks, Celtics, Heat, Raptors, Sixers, and Pacers, those teams all seem like locks for the playoffs. And then just almost by process of elimination, the Nets and Magic, I assumed, would get in as well. The Bulls still have time to turn it around, I think. Zach LaVine was incredible in their recent game, putting up 49 points and 13 threes made. If they just fire Jim Boylan, maybe they'll go on a run. The Pistons definitely have some talent. The Hawks look like they're not quite there yet, especially with John Collins out. Knicks, no chance. Cavs, no chance. Hornets have been feisty, but no chance. Wizards, no chance. So yeah, basically, unless the Bulls or the Pistons can heat up, I don't feel like the Nets, even if they had continued struggling, were going to be I thought that they were going to make the playoffs pretty much regardless. So obviously still very early in the season, 17 games in, but you have to be feeling good about the Brooklyn Nets after another close win on the second night of a back-to-back. They beat the Knicks in their previous game also by 2 points, and that game, just incredible last play with Joe Harris throwing the ball off the defender's back to run out those 0.4 seconds. And I think it was a Nets game maybe a week or two ago. I can't remember which one specifically, but there was a play where I think it was Shumpert threw the ball off of the guy guarding the inbound pass just so it would bounce out of bounds and they'd get a fresh 5 seconds to inbound the ball because they were gonna run out of time. And I think it was Richard Jefferson was basically like, I don't know why guys don't do that more. Just kind of throw the ball off guys. It's like a real playground move. I've done it. I'm sure everyone listening who's played pickup has done it, where there's a loose ball or a rebound that's going out of bounds and you can't quite get to it to gain possession and stop yourself in bounds. So you just kind of throw it off someone's foot. I'm always surprised that that doesn't happen more. And then Joe Harris just whipping it out at the perfect time in that Knicks game to seal the victory. That was incredible. I'm mostly going to talk about the Cavs game in this podcast, but just wanted to get that out there, that was both hysterical and also delightful that it led to a Nets win. So props to Joe for that move. But in this modern NBA, it seems like you need a big two to dominate. You've got Russell Westbrook and James Harden in Houston. You've got LeBron and Anthony Davis, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. There's a lot of dynamic duos in the league, and the Nets very famously have one of their own. And yes, I am talking about Spencer Dinwiddie and Jared Allen, the two biggest stars on the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant injured. Once they come back, perhaps they'll be able to eclipse Dinwiddie and Jared Allen, but it's going to be tough with the way that those two guys have been playing. Especially these last six games. Both of them have really stepped up their play of late. Dinwiddie was kind of more expected than Jared Allen, just because Dinwiddie has shown throughout the past like two and a half years that he has what it takes when he's given the opportunity, and he has that ability to step up and be a lead ball handler and to be possibly even the best guy on a team, like not a great team, but a team like the Nets where they're kind of hovering around 500. He has the ability to be the best guy on that kind of like a fringe playoff team, which is what the Nets are right now. But we saw it last year, even at times when D'Angelo Russell was kind of like remembered as carrying the Nets last season and saving their season. He was their all-star. He was the guy who was probably the face of that team in that turnaround. But Spencer Dinwiddie was extremely consistent, especially early on in the season when Russell didn't quite have what he wound up finding in January, February, and like into that all-star break run of the season. When the Nets were struggling, Spencer Dinwiddie kind of was their best player, and then D'Lo took over and he really became that guy, struggled in the playoffs, and LeVert kind of outplayed both Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell in that playoff series. But Spencer's definitely had moments where he's been the best performing guy on this Nets team, and he's totally stepped up in these six games without Kyrie. He's led the team in scoring in five of those six. The only one he didn't was when Jared Allen put up 22-17 against the Charlotte Hornets last week. And Dinwiddie, I mean, I don't know what else to say. He's just been incredibly consistent. He's averaging almost 25 points and about 6.5 assists per game in this stretch without Kyrie in these six games. And Jared Allen, who Josh and I have definitely gotten on about not having the surest hands, his aggressiveness kind of goes in and out. Allen himself said that he needed to step up, and that's exactly what he's done in these games. He's averaging 15.5 points, 12.5 rebounds, including a 20-20 game, the second of his career in this one against the Cavs, with 22 points and 21 rebounds. Just absolutely relentless and just kind of coming and coming and coming, and that's exactly what Josh and I have wanted. Playing a little bit more like a Tristan Thompson who was matched up on the other side of him, a guy who, despite sometimes being undersized for what was back then like a traditional five position, Thompson was always like an elite rebounder just because of his motor and because of his tenacity. And in this game, he had 10 rebounds, which obviously is still a lot, but Allen more than doubled him in basically about the same amount of minutes. So Jared Allen just helping the Nets completely control the glass. DeAndre Jordan sat out this game for Brooklyn, so a lot was put on Allen. He played 34 minutes, and he grabbed 9 offensive rebounds, which just goes to show, because a lot of times the defensive rebounds can be uncontested if you're just the biggest guy on the court. They can be off free throws, that kind of thing. But to get 9 offensive rebounds, to basically have a double-double, even without any of the defensive rebounds, is extremely, extremely impressive. And the team as a whole only had 12, so he did all of the heavy lifting on that end. And Spencer, to his credit and to the team, their like cohesiveness's credit, I guess, he even said in his post-game interview with Michael Grady that he felt extremely confident shooting that shot and shooting it when he did with that amount of time left, because he knew that he had Jared Allen crashing the glass ready to grab that 10th offensive rebound if he needed to and just kind of tip dunk it back in. So that's the level of confidence that those guys have in both themselves and in each other. Dinwiddie felt confident he would make the shot, obviously, but if he didn't, he also felt confident in Allen, his teammate, being there to kind of clean up the mess. It just goes to show that those two have that real rapport. Them and Joe Harris, at this point, are the guys who were part of that team last year that are still there right now. Like Taurean Prince, Garrett Temple, Nick Claxton, Iman Shumpert, those guys weren't on the team last year. Musa and Pinson were, but they weren't really playing at all. Pinson would get minutes occasionally. Musa pretty much didn't play the whole year. So it's Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen. Those are the guys who were here last year that were part of this culture, part of this team, and have kind of absorbed those lessons and, frankly, have taken on a little bit more leadership and more mentorship now that those guys that the Nets lost, guys like Jared Dudley, Damari Carroll, Ed Davis, those guys have left town. Now the leadership vacuum kind of needed to be filled, and you see Spencer Dinwiddie taking that on, being that lead playmaker, and kind of getting everyone involved. 9 assists in this game against Cleveland. You see Joe Harris going 8 of 17 from the field, really increasing his aggressiveness. He didn't have quite as many assists in this game as he has in games past, but he's been passing the ball a lot more. He's been driving a lot more. And I think the fact that he's earned a reputation now around the league based off of his winning three-point shootout, based off of his performance, even just making it onto the World Cup roster for Team USA, people kind of view him as just a three-point marksman, as like a Kyle Korver, a J.J. Redick even, although J.J. has more to his game, but just like a guy who will shoot threes and do nothing else, kind of like Steve Novak was for the Knicks back when they were good in 2013. But Joe has a lot more to his game than that. He's very crafty on drives. He had a couple in this game and kind of every game. There's like at least one play where he catches it on the curl, drives to the basket, and has a big like on his hip, rises up and just goes for that like very smooth, very quick up and under that just no one seems to expect. And he gets that off every time. And he's extremely efficient with it. I remember even before I like joined this podcast and I would just listen to it with Josh and Gavin, they would talk about how the top two guys in the league at success rate on their drives were LeBron James and Joe Harris, which is still like one of the most shocking statistics, even like knowing how good Joe Harris is on drives. Like, he's even better than we think he is. So all the credit to him on being extremely consistent. And then Jared Allen, a guy who is a little more quiet, a little more reserved. He's sort of come out of his shell these last few games, and seeing him post game with Dinwiddie and with Grady, basking in that moment after the fact, even like running up to Spencer and dumping water on him from the bottle, like celebrating all that stuff. It's good to see him kind of embrace that and be that guy that Josh and I have said, like, the league perceives him as being that guy. And if you watch him on a day-to-day, you haven't seen it very consistently, but he's been showing it these last few games, and he's really, really impressed me with his tenacity, his energy, his effort. And then just like going back to that like culture, that mentorship thing, it's not the same relationship that he had with Ed Davis, but just seeing like Nick Claxton out there and seeing he has moments of brilliance, he has moments where he looks a little bit lost, but just seeing like during timeouts and stuff, Jared Allen talking to him, and then DeAndre Jordan talking to both of them, like, it's a real a passing of the torch, I guess, because DJ is still going to play when he's healthy and that kind of thing. But just seeing Claxton kind of learning from Allen and seeing Allen learning from DJ, it's like, this is like a real foundation for something that's like built to last, where the younger guys learn from the older guys and the even younger guys learn from those other guys like Jared Allen. So it's good to see him. It's good to see Joe. It's good to see Spencer all taking on that leadership role and kind of guiding this team out of where they were. They were 4-7 after that loss to the Denver Nuggets. And then Kyrie was ruled out. He's been ruled out for the next few games, so he's going to miss this Celtics game on ESPN, which I had mentioned I was really looking forward to. So we'll have to wait on the next time Kyrie gets the opportunity to play in Boston against the Celtics. That's not going to come until March, so a little disappointing there. But still, the fact that this team has fought, has battled, has ridden through that extremely rough start to get to where they are now shows me that they do still have at least some of that DNA that they had last year. The team that fell to 8-17, dug their way out of it, wound up finishing over 500, making the playoffs, winning a game, putting like a scare into Philly, a team that nearly beat the eventual champion Toronto Raptors. Like, that Nets team had extreme heart, and to use the word that Michael Grady used after the game in this one, they had grit, and they were a team that just wasn't going to die. And I don't know yet if these new additions, if guys like Torian Prince, Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, even Kevin Durant once he's back, I don't know if they necessarily are going to completely embody that same culture, that same core Nets team that fans grew to love last year. But I do know that they have Spencer Dinwiddie, they have Jared Allen, they have Joe Harris. They still have pieces of that team from last year, and it's not the exact same, but just knowing that that core is still there, still intact, and is still willing to fight is really encouraging if you're a Nets fan. Because you see a team like Toronto last year, when Kawhi Leonard would sit, they would have this core group of guys that would still kind of fight and battle, and they wound up winning way more games than people expected to with Kawhi out. So that almost reminds me of like the inverse of what the Nets are doing, where that team went from, they had a star and they had a culture also that was almost independent of the star. And so when you remove the star player, Kawhi Leonard, you still have that good culture, and it's led Toronto to like a really great start this year. They're 11-4. The Nets are the opposite in that they had the good culture. They had a team that kind of overachieved. They exceeded expectations. And then now you've put the star in, and you're going to put another one in next year in Kevin Durant. So it's kind of like not reverse engineering, but just like the backwards path of what Toronto just did, where you have a core team and like core beliefs, core things that you're like an identity, I guess. And then you add in a star. You don't need the star to completely buy in. The star's job is just to take what you've already built and push it over the top. And so hopefully that's what Kyrie can do once he's back in some form this season. Obviously not to a championship, but maybe to a second round berth, maybe to if maybe they can pass Indy, Toronto, Miami, maybe some of those teams, maybe to even like hosting a playoff series in round one. That would be very cool. And then obviously once you get KD back for the following season, hoping that he's at least somewhat close to where he was. Obviously, it's unrealistic to expect him to just come back and immediately be the best player in the league, which is why I think a lot of people, KD included, honestly, are not in favor of bringing him back at the end of this year. Just kind of give him a full off season to work with his new teammates, to kind of get more into basketball shape, just fully lock in and just focus on next year and not have to think about, like, will he come back, won't he come back? Just say he's coming back next year, do all the right things in that respect, and then things will work themselves out. So I guess it comes down to, for this year, the Nets know that they aren't going to compete for a championship, but what's important is that they kind of hold things together with Kyrie, a guy who's been combustible in his past stops in Cleveland and in Boston, and a guy who, even if it's not fair, which I go back and forth on, honestly, he has a reputation as being a guy who isn't the best for team chemistry and doesn't necessarily gel with teammates. Like, all you want to do this year is just get through it and get through it with everyone liking each other and with the team somewhat resembling what they had last year, because they really did, in some ways, catch lightning in a bottle and kind of capture that thing of, like we've all experienced it, where you have a job where you like really love your coworkers, you get along. So it's not going to last, because certain people are going to go find other jobs, certain people are going to come join, and you just have to kind of keep things together. And it feels like the Nets, I thought that they had maybe lost that at the start of the season, but it seems like they've held at least some of that identity together, and they're playing the way that they played last season, which is extremely encouraging. They've got that home-and-home against the Celtics coming up on Wednesday and on Friday. And then they face the Heat, the Hawks, the Hornets. So I think it's tough to win both of a home-and-home. So I think the goal for the two Boston games should be to get at least one. The Nets have won four straight, obviously. So maybe this first one is a good chance to try to steal one. And then you're kind of playing with house money in that second game. And then you've got those winnable games. You've got the Hawks. You've got Charlotte twice in the week after that. So the Nets can definitely hang around, and then hopefully they get Caris LeVert back sometime around Christmas, which is like fast approaching, about a month away, exactly a month away actually from today. So as I record this, as you listen to this, not a month away. That's how time works. But yeah, hopefully Kyrie is back sooner rather than later. And the team can just kind of get all their pieces clicking at once, because things didn't look so smooth early in the season when they had everyone. And we saw this happen last year, where Caris was out and the team kind of thrived without him. And it was like a big thing of how would they be able to work him back into the rotation once he was healthy. Would that lack of touches and lack of maybe finding a rhythm affect Dinwiddie or affect D'Angelo Russell negatively? There's just maybe like more mouths to feed than there are now, where there's like a clear hierarchy, like Dinwiddie's the guy. He's taking that last shot at the end, almost regardless of how he's played in the game. And he's played well, but even if he hadn't, I think he's still getting that shot. Once Kyrie is back, he's getting that shot. Is that going to affect things with Dinwiddie? We'll just have to see. But for now, I like where the Nets have been, and I'm hoping that this winning keeps on going, because it's very encouraging. It's good to see the Nets like back on the winning side of things at 9-8. Hopefully that continues with that Celtics game on Wednesday. Josh and I will be back very soon. It's almost like I kind of want to keep doing these solo pods, because the Nets have done so well when we are just going back and forth on the solos. You know, they weren't doing well when we were together, but you know, Josh and I can't be held apart too long. You know, we've known each other for way too long to be separated like this. So we'll be back on a podcast together very soon. You can download the podcast wherever you get podcasts. You know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, anything. The choice is yours. Follow the podcast at Locked On Nets. Follow Josh at JMBass_. Throw me a follow if you want at Marcus Barahal. Yeah, Nets play the Celtics tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have a recap of that very shortly. Until next time, be well. Bye.